This is a podcast from RTE Radio 1.
Hello and welcome to Audioscope. Audioscope, as well as going out on medium wave, is also being podcast. Indeed, some of you may be listening to our podcast. But is podcasting the way forward for programmes such as Audioscope? To discuss whether podcasting is the way forward for programmes such as Audioscope, I'm joined by Des Kenny, the Chief Executive Officer of the National Council for the Blind of Ireland, Padraig Naughton, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Arts and Disability Ireland, and Joe Bollard. Des Kenny, you were very positive and supportive of the idea of Audioscope being podcast. Can you explain to me why?
I think it's just another technique of the extension of radio that gives you optional listening. You don't have to listen into it at the odd times. And I think it does give you that flexibility to take it down an MP3 player and listen to it at a distance or at a different time other than the transmission time. And I just saw the extension of podcasting to Audioscope as taking it into the family of other programmes that have joined that merited class of optional listening.
So it means that rather than having to listen to it at that particular time, you can listen to it at whatever. Another advantage that we're experiencing is that our podcasts are longer. So we record Audioscope, and sometimes because we're tight for time, we have to edit. It has to be edited, but the unedited version or the less edited version is podcast. So you can actually get a longer version of things.
Mm, which is a very good idea, because I've listened to podcasts from some of the US stations, and again you're looking at short programs of 20 minutes, and on a podcast you get up to 32 minutes, so it does allow the interview extended of certain subjects. So it has the dual thing, the optional listening and the extended program.
Padraig, you're not quite as much of a fan of podcasting.
Well, I'm a fan of podcasting and couldn't do without my iPod, but I think I have a lot of concerns around how accessible it is currently, both from a financial point of view and a technological point of view. And also, I think there's a big issue in radio and TV currently where the audiences are being further and further segmented and fragmented. And that means that certain things, for example, rather than mainstream, are becoming more specialist. And one of the things I think about Audioscope having its FM slot, which I still think it should have, is that it reaches a very wide audience. I think the podcasting it's a fantastic development. I know myself, I'm subscribed to something like 35 different podcast streams. I don't listen to them all the time, but I have a whole selection of material from Australia, from Canada, from the US, from Lonely Planet, from the BBC, etc., that I would regularly choose between on a kind of a daily basis, particularly when I'm travelling or walking around. But I just feel that if, for example, outside Dublin and certainly outside large urban areas, there's still a big problem with broadband access. And broadband is still quite expensive if, for example, you have to use wireless technology to get broadband. And those, and also, you know, I know for myself, I am now on my second iPod my first one I got 2.5 years ago. So even in iPods without computers, I've spent in excess of €800 at this stage.
Joe, as a blind person and somebody who I suppose would be very technically quite literate, especially in terms of sort of sound, what is podcasting and how do you access it?
Well, first of all, my latest toy is my iAudio MP3 player. And one of the beauties of getting, for instance, the Audioscope podcast is that Audioscope, as you know, is on Saturday afternoon, which is a big day for me because I'm a great sports fan. So I can now enjoy my sport on a Saturday afternoon, and then download the podcast onto my MP3 player and listen to it maybe on Monday morning when I'm going into Dublin on the Dart.
How exactly do you access this podcast? You know, we all know that, for example, if we want to listen to Audioscope, we find out what time it is on foot, we find out what frequency it's on or what station it's on, and we turn our radios on and we listen.
Yeah, okay. So
how do you access
the
podcast?
I can actually switch on my computer and go up onto the website, find the RTE, find the Audioscope, find the podcast and download it. I can download it then from there onto my iAudio, onto my MP3 player.
How do you do that?
By telling my computer to do it.
It says
download. It's connected to my, with a USB connection to my computer. My MP3 player is connected to the computer, and it just says download now if you so wish, and I can download it. Goes onto my MP3 player. I can then disconnect it and put that MP3 player away because I'm listening to a football match or I'm going out to a gig or doing something. And then on Monday morning, I can listen to, just put in the headphones into my MP3 player and go through to the audioscope podcast that's on my MP3 player and press the play button and away it goes. And it will play and I can listen to Audioscope that way. That's one of the reasons. I mean, that's only the Audioscope podcast, but there are lots of other podcasts I can get. There's lots of sports podcasts I download as well. But if you think that about 10 years ago, I was talking to somebody about the future of radio, and we were talking, it was actually here in RTE, and they were telling me that in years to come, and this was about 10 years ago, people wouldn't be actually staying in their house listening to radio programmes. They would be carrying the radio programmes around with them, and it would be possible to do that. It was only about 10 years ago, and I think that's a great advance. But I do think that it's even going to develop further, maybe 5 or 6 years down the road. We get even more advanced technology.
So there is still a certain amount of equipment that you need. You need to have a computer. You need to have possibly an MP3 player, although I think you can listen to it straight on your computer, and access to the internet. Is the internet site accessible and friendly and easy to use?
I would say of the websites I used, I think that the links could be a little bit clearer on the RTE site. It's very usable, but it takes that extra little bit of technical know-how to use it. I find some of the other ones, in fact, all you've got to do is direct your computer to, or you've just got to click or direct it onto a link which will automatically subscribe you to the podcast that you want. And I found that a bit tricky on the RTE website.
I know we said that podcasting is another way of listening to Audioscope, but one of the purposes, I think, of Audioscope is that it raises awareness in amongst the general population about issues affecting blind and vision impaired people, and that often it's people that are by chance listening to it, especially when we had the FM slot, that wouldn't happen. You have to go to a lot of effort to podcast. Do you think, how is podcasting still a good idea when you might be missing that population or that target group?
I think it is still a good idea. I think you will probably, as time goes on, miss out on that kind of the audience, the casual dropper in on programmes. I think what Porrick described earlier about segmenting and whatnot is becoming part of broadcasting, television and radio broadcasting as time moves on. That people are going to be segmented off. People are too busy and they don't want to be inundated with the dross and having to search for the needle in the haystack type listening. So people will have more directed listening coming to them. And I think that's the reality of the age we're moving into. That's not the age of tomorrow. It's probably the day after tomorrow in a broadcasting sense of several years from now. But I think casual listening, as people get busier, is probably going to disappear. And in its absence, you will get more enriched listening. You will get the programmes that you can store and listen in on. And we're going to have to find other ways, I think, of addressing the the need to bridge public interest with our particular needs so that there is a more caring society and that people are more understanding. But I'm not sure if it's just going to be radio. There's probably lots of other ways we can tap into the changes in communications as well.
I know, having worked with Audioscope over the last number of years, we have got comments from listeners and some suggesting programmes, some people who happened to listen, some people who didn't know anything about blindness, some people who are losing their sight and find that the fact that Audioscope is on of great benefit. Other people saying things like that they heard all of a sudden the first time about a particular service run by an organisation because they happened to listen to Audioscope. The need to actually physically go and download the podcast, like how many people would
do that? What will happen is that you would probably have more segmented, like community parish radio and what, and I think you will have legitimate steel of interesting tracts of information that will probably be more generally available. So I think that it will be a broader listening span of programming and radio making, and that will live off a rich hive of other people's material. So I think if people are identified as in the parish as being interested or a potential in need of a certain type of service, you will find the creators of those programmes or the people who are in some way shepherding information to them will pick up on the podcasts and downloads of other stations. And they're much easier to find using computers and a search mechanism than newspapers and whatnot. So you can find very quickly material that will help individuals as distinct from huge masses of people.
I'm a great fan of community radio. Des was just touching on community radio there. I was involved in a community radio in my own hometown for quite a long time. And I think that's the way radio is going to go. We will always have your pop stations, you will always have, but more and more by degrees you're going to find smaller groups of people and forming their own radio stations. Even, Des mentioned the word there, parish radio. It's now possible to get your Sunday Mass on your local, from your local church in your local radio. And I think that's the way it's going to go with radio in the future.
I think, Bethan, you know, while I, as I said, I'm a huge fan personally of podcasting. I was one of these people who, you know, 20 years ago was twiddling the knobs on shortwave trying to hear radio stations from all over the world. Now I tend to listen to things on satellite or as I said earlier, get a lot of material from around the world, be it Radio Australia, National Public Radio, and Radio Canada, and many other places from podcasting. I think what concerns me is, you know, while people adjust to the technology, I think the technology is here to stay, and I think it's great it is. And the more people that use it, the cheaper it will become and the more user-friendly it will become. I think, though, we need some interim measures to maybe support those blind and visually impaired people around the country who maybe can't access either the internet, either from the point of view technically having the capabilities yet or don't have the technology, don't have the internet connection, so that they can access some of the programming. Like I, for example, listened most recently to Des's full interview, the one-to-one interview you did with him on Christmas Day, and that extended interview on the podcast was fantastic, and it was really great. Listen to it coming up on the train on Monday morning from Ballinasloe. But what I would really like to see is somebody who is still struggling with cassette would have access to that material too.
So your suggestion is that as well as having the things on, say, the internet, that they're also available
In other formats so that people can access them. The other thing which I would think is, and Joe touched on communities, as did Des, I think one of the most successful almost alternative community type podcasts that I've come across has been the BBC Ouch podcast.
Excellent.
And it is an excellent podcast. It's quite wacky.
That's
it's
a disability programme.
Yes.
It's
more Rog and Podge than it is Richard and Judy. Yeah, that's the best way of describing it. Matt, presented by two comedians, Matt Fraser and Liz Carr. And it has succeeded in actually breaking back into the mainstream, but quite often because it's been very radical. So, for example, it has ended up in The Guardian. It has ended up in You and Yours. People have complained about it. I've had arguments with people about it. And, you know, but that is supported by quite a lot of resources in terms of a website that, for example, has bulletin boards and debates and commissions people to write for it and has transcripts of programmes as well.
But there again, it's not available to he who has a cassette.
But I think podcasting is like the era of the first radios in the parish, that they are more difficult to listen into because people can't afford them. And you are at this whole new era of the computer being, you know, computer at the heart of things. And in fact, it's broadband more than the computer, and the absence of it is to be lamented. But we are moving very rapidly. Cassette is on the way out. CD is going to be gone in 5 years. You now have radios coming out with that you plug your MP3 player into instead of putting a CD into. So the thing is moving very rapidly, and it's to make it affordable, I think, is what Pádraig is saying, more than knock the technology, bring the technology closer and just make it a whole lot more affordable and a lot more user-friendly to the average person.
So instead of having a charity of wireless for the blind, we have a... I don't know, is it internet for the blind? Is it whatever the latest equivalent of wireless for the blind in the 21st century?
I think, Bethan, that's not as flippant as it may sound. I think there may well be a need. I think my biggest concern is about bridging that gap between those of us who are fairly comfortable and confident with the technology and those who aren't. And I just want to see that gap bridged.
An interesting thing in working on it, Bethan, is that we're talking here about podcasting and the extent to which the computer is, but we're working with a charity in Malawi who wants to us to work with them in wind-up radios. So, you know, there's society, and when you look at it in a worldwide dimension, we're working at the extreme of the new technology. Whereas in some of the African states, you're looking at the extremes of bringing radio in a very primitive sense to people, first-time listeners.
And it's very important that it's the whole, the communication, the access to the communication. If something becomes purely podcast, then lots of your population, the population of people who are registered with NCBI, the majority of them are older people who may not necessarily be as computer literate as the younger blind people. Is the need, are those people being as disadvantaged as some of the people who don't have access to any of the old-fashioned radios if they can't access the technology?
I think currently they are. I agree with Des and Joe. I think eventually that gap will be bridged, and I think the technologies will get simpler to the point that they'll start to be built into other technologies, and you know that's going to happen. But I think it is really important that we try and in the coming years support those people. Just going back to your other point, which again I think is important, when Audioscope had its FM slot, and it has its medium wave slot now, you do get a casual listener. I think, for example, if I felt confident that let's say the issues that were really pertinent and burning issues to the visually impaired and blind community could get an airing in mainstream programming, then I would feel happier. I think what I would feel a bit concerned about is that we might in the short term fall between two stools, i.e. Audioscope is meant to fulfil that remit, so it's left to Audioscope. And it maybe has a growing podcasting audience, whereas in fact the mainstream programmes should also be taking on the issues.
I think that was part of the argument of the RT management, that somehow or other we were depriving ourselves of inroads into mainstream broadcasting by limiting ourselves in the backwater of an Audioscope, which was so much talking to ourselves. Mm. But my argument would be that an audioscope is necessary for us to debate the merits of guide dog versus long cane. And not probably so much in the other areas. Mm. I can talk about grade one, grade two brailles.
Yeah.
But in the other areas, we should try and enrich public knowledge through mainstream broadcasting.
So,
can mainstream broadcasting, I know other people who were involved in the debate would have said things to me like, well, how many hours do I have to listen to hear one thing that's of relevance to me?
That's one of the points I was making all the way along. I mean, when did you last hear an item or an issue that concerned blind and vision impaired people discussed on a mainstream programme?
And I would listen to the radio quite a lot.
Other thing, Bethan, which sometimes happens is, for example, I've been into audioscope. In fact, I feel I've become a regular now to talk about audio description.
Yes.
But for example, one of the things I wanted to do was to try and get that on some mainstream programmes. But because one of the audio described performances was Doubt, which was very heavily covered by arts in RTE, and that was a good thing. It was on TV, on the View. It was on the 11th Hour. It was impossible to get another feature on, which was specialist to visually impaired and blind people regarding audio description, because it was almost a replay of the coverage that had already been done on Doubt, although albeit specialist.
Having said that, in defence, in one way, of RTE, the very first audio described show that came here, which was Miss Saigon, was very well covered on the Jerry Ryan programme.
And on Audioscope as well. I remember you did a report for us on it, Joe. So it seems that there are we are all agreeing that there are clear advantages to podcasting, in that people can listen to programmes in the times that they want to, and that we can have extended. We're less limited in terms of time, and obviously we have a much more flexible schedule, or there's no schedule. There is technology, there are possible technology issues, and those are the difficulties, and also the fact that somebody has to choose to listen to it. I suppose, just to conclude, is podcasting, do you think that the way forward is podcasting without Audioscope having a mainstream slot of an average radio slot, or do you see it as going hand in hand?
I think it's hand in hand. I think it's a complementary thing. I don't think it's an either or, and I wouldn't like it to be, because the danger then is that we could lose the other spin-offs that I still think are important for some time to come. I can't see any infiltration into mainstream broadcasting in a way that will give us what we feel we deserve by way of a lift of our interest in that general remit. So I would like to see it continue as an and system rather than either or.
Joe, I presume you...
No, you've got to have Audioscope. I mean, you can have the podcast of Audioscope, but you've got to have the programme itself has to be there. It's essential for blind and vision impaired people, first of all. Then it's essential for the general public in terms of awareness and things of that. But there's always got to be an Audioscope or a programme. Maybe not the same name, maybe not the same people, maybe not the same time, but there's always got to be an Audioscope stroke in touch type program.
And Porik, podcasting may be positive, but if more and more information is going to be podcast, we need to bridge the gap.
I think in the short to medium term, we need to bridge the gap. And going back to Audioscope, be it podcast or on the radio, I think it needs to be both. And I still think an FM's evening slot during the week is needed.
That's all we have time for this time. The podcast version of this, which some of you may be listening to, is obviously the longer version. So if you want to listen to the unedited version of this, feel free to have a look at the RTE website, as Joe described earlier on, to access it. That's all for now. Thank you very much to Des Kenny, Joe Bollard and Porik Nocton.
You've been listening to a podcast from RTE Radio 1. For more details of our podcasts, visit rte.ie/radio1.